This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code PRESSROW at checkout. We thank Squarespace for their support of the Press Row Podcast. Squarespace, a better web starts with your website.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham.
All right, we are back. It is episode 100. Pop the champagne bottles, spray it all around, wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. 100 episodes of the Press Row Podcast. Wow, I am so excited. And I'm even more excited because I've got a whole lot of my good friends joining us here tonight. So for your Friday, September 12th, 2014, let's go around the horn, moving from left to right on your radio. Up first, we have a man, the only man I know who is brave enough to take the Jacksonville Jaguars in an online CFM in Madden 15 from Pasta Padre, Mr. Brian Weedy. Brian, welcome to the show.
It's not about being brave, Rich. They have a pool in their stadium. I didn't think far enough ahead to realize I couldn't take advantage of that. But I'm excited. I'm having fun with them, even though it's tough. It's tough playing with a team that, you know, I think they're actually better in real life than they are in Madden because they can't do much of anything in the game. But I like the challenge, and the games I've played so far have been really entertaining down to the end. So,
up next, we have a man who is predicting a long and successful coaching tenure for Charlie Strong at Texas, the executive editor of Operation Sports, Mr. Chris Sanner. Chris, welcome to the show.
You know, Rich, I'm telling you, that place is a disaster down there right now. And as a Sooner, I must say, I cannot wait to see them go 1-11 this year or 2-10 or whatever you want to have it. So, no, it's a disaster down in Austin, Texas, and I'm not sure I really care. So,
up next, we have a man who, like me, enjoys a good afternoon at GameStop. And in this case, a particularly nice GameStop from in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. From Polygon, Mr. Owen Good. Owen, welcome to the show.
Rich, we probably grabbed a new listener. I stopped in today to pick up Destiny, and I wanted to give a shout-out to Brandon, the very helpful associate at the counter. We had a spirited discussion of NHL 15. He's quite a hockey fan, and I want to make sure that I raise some of his concerns as we go over that game. But, again, always happy to have new ears on the podcast.
Absolutely. Welcome aboard, sir. Up next, we have a man who, well, let's face it, he hates Apple with every fiber of his being. For Polygon, Mr. Sumit Sarkar. Sumit, welcome to the show.
Why are you spreading lies and hate, Rich? I just want to spread love for everyone and everything. Come on. It's not cool. It's not.
Well, now that they officially stopped making the only Apple product you ever bought, I'm pretty sure I felt some hate coming from your neck of the woods.
No, I just, you know, I mean, it was going to happen eventually. I mean, who buys things that only play music nowadays? Except, I guess, the tens of thousands of people who kickstarted. What did I miss?
No, I'm laughing at who buys things that only play music. I mean, that's so true.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, I was going to say, except the tens of thousands of people or whatever who kickstarted that Pono music player, the one that Neil Young was involved with. Anyway, yeah. Well, this is great radio, so I'll stop.
And up next, we have a man who, for the second straight year, has foisted a lie upon his listeners and fans, something called the True 162 will never happen. From That Sports Gamer, Mr. TJ Lowerman. TJ, welcome to the show.
Rich, there's still like 7 months until the baseball season starts. So I got time here.
Yeah, and because there's not much happening in the world of sports games that you'll be going to be playing from now in those next 7 months at all.
Yeah, with the rate that new Mutt Solars are coming out, I mean, I only got time for one game.
And I am your host, Rich Grisham. While the rest of the world plays Destiny, I'm very happily shooting an 82 in the golf club. Welcome, everybody. Once again, thank you, as always, for listening. This is the 100th episode of the Press Row Podcast. I'm very excited. I want to thank Operations Sports for making this show possible in the first place and for distributing it. Chris Sanner, you and Steve Noah are wonderful human beings. Thank you very much for doing what you do. I want to thank...
Rich, I just want to butt in on your thinking. You're only half right there. You said Steve was a great human being. You can continue with your accolades now.
I want to absolutely thank Owen Good and TJ Lowerman and Sumit Sarkar and Kat Bailey and Brian Weedeye and Mike Suzik, who have all been regular panelists at various times during the 100 episodes. I look forward to many hundreds more as well. It's so great to be able to be a part of something that so many people clearly enjoy listening to and participating in. So thank you, everybody. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We are going to talk about Madden. We've all had sort of the post, you know, we've had the stress of getting our Madden reviews out the door over with, and now we've been able to play it for fun in various ways for the last few weeks. So we're going to talk a little bit our experiences with that. We're going to talk about the golf club, which if you've been able to follow some of our hangouts and things like that, we spent a little time talking about. But on the proper Press Row podcast, we have not been able to spend some time talking about that. We're going to discuss that a little bit. We're definitely going to talk about NHL 15, which came out, and I did a review, and you know, there's a lot to talk about with NHL 15. And then we're going to cap it off with a little bit of a discussion about where you know, where support is for these modern generation games that we have. So a lot to talk about tonight, but let's start with Madden. As I mentioned, most of us on the show have had some sort of review responsibility or oversight of reviews or you know, lots of coverage, and that's all done. So now we've been able to just kind of kick back and enjoy the game on our own terms. So I'm going to start with you, Owen Good. You are playing as Perseus Oxendine in the Press Row Podcast Madden Football League. Curious what your experience has been like that as a single player running back in a league full of owners and coaches.
Well, I've only played one game so far, but I did run some offline seasons concurrent to that as practice, of course, to try to, you know, hone up my Mad Magician playbook. I would say this about if you're going to tough it out as a single player in a league full of people who are running the entire team, whether as coaches or owners, you need to understand. If you're a quarterback, obviously you're calling plays, but you also need to understand, you know, as a running back, you know, what kind of plays are best for your team and the ones that you can call there and what are suited for your offense. And then, you know, you still can adjust plays at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but a big drawback, and I would have mentioned this in the review if I'd seen it, you can't adjust the play camera as a running back. I don't know if that extends to the entirety of the single player mode, but, you know, as I mentioned in my review, you know, I usually try to back things out to the all 22 if I'm in a long yardage situation, just to see the holes as they develop, or at least to elevate the camera, maybe not all 22. But just to see, you know, the entirety of the line of scrimmage and then any linebackers or cornerbacks at the edges of it. Can't do that. So that's kind of difficult. The other thing I'd say that's really, really, really difficult if you are a running back in an offense, if you're trying to run any kind of a spread offense, if you're trying to fake the other side out with screens and draws, that screen pass, your quarterback doesn't get rid of it as fast as you do in real life. I think everybody knows what a 007 adventure it is to throw a screen pass in Madden. You have to throw it before the running back is ready for it, and your quarterback's going to bite the turf all the time. So not too happy with that. Might have to remove some of those from my playbook. But it's an interesting adventure, and obviously if you're the one guy who's playing El Lobo solo, and being the stud running back or quarterback or whoever, it's a nice little wrinkle because everybody in this league is, you know, trading smack talk through emails and such. It's still a fun rich experience. It's just I've got to, I guess, adjust my expectations. I really thought I was going to be blowing up. I thought I was going to be blowing up the Chargers in my first game. I was not. I got lucky. I had a CPU defensive pick six, and as opposed to an offensive pick six, I'm sorry, but that I ended up winning by 7 points, and so you could say that that provided the difference. So we'll see. But Perseus Oxendine, 6'4", 240 pounds, first-round draft pick from Newberry College, South Carolina, Division II Newberry.
Love it.
That's part of the fun of Madden is just creating your own emergent narrative and silly backstory. Perseus is from Robeson County, North Carolina. Oxendine is a very common name down there, and I think people who know the area can imagine what kind of a runner he is. So,
TJ?
Oh, and how boring is it when you have to play another human?
It's not, actually, because I don't have the insecurity of calling defense and overrunning the play and doing all the stupid stuff. I mean, Madden has made, as I mentioned in the review, all sorts of adjustments, you know, that make playing defense enjoyable. But I'm still the kind of guy who's going to play the line, who's going to play a linebacker. I'm not going to play coverage. I'm not like you, TJ, who, you know, can pull off user interception after user interception after user interception. And that's sort of where defense, I think, is the most dynamic. I have had a couple of sacks, playing defense in Ultimate Team. And I'm sure you're glad to hear that I'm engaged in that mode to a degree that I was not last year. But in terms of a franchise where I don't have to show my ignorance on defense, I'm happy not to.
So speaking of Ultimate Team, TJ, you are, of course, known for your Ultimate Team. I could use the word insanity. I could use the word zealotry. Let's just go with enjoyment. How is Ultimate Team, now that you've really, you know, kind of dug into it, what's your experience been with Ultimate Team Madden 15?
It's kind of like a double-edged sword right now because I love it so much. But they're just putting out so much content right now. Like, it feels like every day there's one or two new solos you have to do, and they're having pack deals all the time that you always want to get in on, but the cards in there aren't really worth getting. It's just a lot of stuff coming at you a lot of different ways. You gotta be on your game this year to play Ultimate Team.
Well, I will say that Mr. TJ Larriman contributed a significant amount of excellent content to the creation of a Madden Ultimate Team Tips piece, which went live in Games Radar this week. So thank you, TJ. And if you want to just get into Ultimate Team and you don't know where to start and you just want to, like, have something walk you through the basics and not talk to you like you actually know everything about it, go check that out.
Something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. Like, Ultimate Team is, like many other things in sports games, sometimes it kind of assumes you know just what the heck it's talking about.
But TJ is a person, and he's the person I rely on to walk me through Ultimate Team. I've had TJ, how many times have I emailed you over the past 3 days telling me, what the hell does a badge do?
I mean, more times than I'd like to remember, but I'm always here to help you guys.
You know, and then you told me, look, I actually have a day job. You know, I don't play Ultimate Team for a living. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
At like 1 in the afternoon, he's like, are you ready to play right now? I was like, I'm working.
Oh man, Chris Sanner, what's your post review crunch Madden experience been like?
That is a mouthful, Rich. What you just said, that is a mouthful.
Don't ask me to say it twice.
Yeah, I know. I've been playing like a boring person, Rich. I'm sorry. I have been a holdout on the Press Row franchise, but I've been playing offline franchise mainly because I just have a horribly, like, my schedule's just ridiculous. I don't even think I could get a game in versus a human, like, planned out. But it's been good. I really do. This year's game, the gameplay, really, I don't know what it is, but it's just, it feels balanced. It feels like there's something to do on defense, which is a good thing. I don't feel bored playing that side of the ball. I actually feel like there's some strategy to that, even in calling the plays now. Before, it just, you just kind of stuck with what Madden did, and now you're worried about, well, they're calling runs, well, I need to stack the box, and, you know, it's just, it's a lot better in that respect on the field. I'm
you know, I can throw screen passes, Rich, just so you know, they're good. So they're very good. That's a very key part of my attack now. So if you blitz the crap out of me, I'm going to screen my way up the field. But it's just the gameplay this year really is like it's really progressed to the point where I just feel like there's some balance to it. You know, previous years it was offense heavy. This year I feel like if you just know what the heck you're doing on defense, you can stop teams. I haven't had problems. It's kind of like what we're going to talk about in a little bit with the golf club. Any mistake that is made, I don't feel like it's a gamey thing. I feel like it is something I did wrong. I call a blitz on third and two and the guy throws it over the top. Well, that was to be expected. You know, that he got the pass off. That was to be expected. It's not a gamey thing where the guy decides, you know, in previous years to throw verticals and my safety's running around not knowing what the heck to do as a tight end goes past him and scores a touchdown, you know. So it's good in that respect. It's still not perfect, obviously. Madden's gameplay is never going to be perfect, I'm afraid. So there's always going to be something wrong. I mean, what they fixed this year, they made a few new problems. They're going to fix those next year, and there's going to be new problems off of that. That's just that's how Madden is. It's going to create new problems every year that's going to be fixed the next year, and it's just going to be a never-ending cycle. I mean, it's just how it is. So the stat issues aside, that sort of thing, I've just kind of suspended disbelief. I started the game before the new rosters were out anyway, so I picked up a few players I probably shouldn't have as the Chiefs, and I'm actually playing good as the Chiefs. I'm winning games. That's unrealistic, but I'm winning games as the Chiefs, so I you know, things are going well. So it's a good experience. I would like to think, just looking around the OS community, the Madden forum is hopping a little bit more than it usually is. There's a lot more. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about it, a lot more positivity about the game this year. So just from all that combined, everything I've seen, I'd say this has been a very successful release for EA, and it's well-deserved, actually. For once, we can say that Madden is a well-deserved successful release.
Brian Widdeye, what has your post, you don't quite do a traditional review, but you certainly do put a ton of Madden information out there, you know, with your quick hits and then your in-depth thoughts. So once you got that out of the way, how have you been playing it? What's your experience in Madden been?
There's a lot of things that are lacking and frustrating in specific areas, whether that's the inability to challenge plays, the non-auto challenging that should happen on turnovers and touchdowns, presentation, quarterback efficiency from the CPU, dropped interceptions, some weird DB AI that you see from time to time. But otherwise, the game's pretty satisfying and fun. You know, the CPU is challenging this year. I've already lost one CPU game in our league, barely. On a missed field goal at the end, but it was pretty exciting, pretty rewarding game to play, and the user games tend to be pretty entertaining also. I think we have this compelling nature to our league that really I think sucks us into it, and we get more out of the games because of that. But I also think if you look at some recent releases of other sports games, you begin to appreciate all that Madden offers, despite its deficiencies. It's hard to look at Madden and say, okay, there isn't the value there. There's always value in Madden. They tend to have a ton of modes, different ways to play, a bunch of options. You start to appreciate that a little more now, and when you tie it in with the improvements that they have in gameplay and presentation and stuff, it's a good year for Madden, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and there's a lot that we've said positive about it. You hit the nail on the head, Brian. When you play in a fun online league, it really dramatically improves your experience. But what it also does is when there are technical problems, it is that much more deflating. We waited for a good, a week and a half after the release of Madden 15 until we officially kicked off the season. And, you know, we waited for the opening day rosters. But we've had technical problems. Brian, you and I had a disconnection. We actually played in week one. Jaguars, Eagles played in week one, had a disconnection. TJU and ESPN's Gus Ramsey had two disconnections before you finally got your game in. I believe there have been some other technical issues with some folks. So that is very distressing. Because again, when you are so excited, like number one, you're excited to play. Like I am genuinely excited to play, whether it's against a human or the CPU. But I mean, I know everybody in the league, and it's fun to play Brian. It's fun to play TJ. It's fun to play Gus. And then when you get a disconnection, oh man, it's so aggravating, and I can't stand that. Especially because, let's face it, we all have, you know, multiple jobs. We have families, we have children, we have, you know, many different responsibilities. It's not like we can just, you know, play a game at any time. You have to schedule the game and you have a relatively short window. So that's been concerning. I'm hoping that these issues dissipate over time. Last year, Madden 25 on the launch PS4, I recall having very few technical difficulties. So I'm really hoping that that goes away. The other thing, and I brought this up when I talked to Josh Luman, it's even more apparent to me how much I miss practice. I really want to take my team and just get out on the practice field. It doesn't need to be earning anything. I just want to play. Like, the only way I can ever play with my team is in the game, and that's it. And that's so limiting to me. I want to get out there. I want to try stuff. I want to use different playbooks. And now I just basically it's either prime time or nothing. And that is, the more we get into it, to me personally, the most frustrating that I can't do it. And at least if I want to play as the Eagles right now, I can, because it's the first couple of weeks of our first season. But in year 2, 3, and 4, when the rosters change a whole bunch, it's going to be even worse. That really bothers me. Having said that, and I want to go back to something that you said. You are in Ultimate Team. Give me a couple of minutes on what Ultimate Team has been for you, because I don't think you've played a whole lot of Ultimate Team before now. So I'm interested, sort of, what your thoughts are on that.
It's a great segue. You talk about you have no practice in Madden CFM mode. Ultimate Team is practice for me. I mean, I don't get to use the same playbook that I use in CFM, but the experiences are short enough, especially in, like, you know, the solo challenges, the weekly challenges, your training camp, that kind of thing, that I can go in and go, okay, you know, this is what it, I mean, some of them are on, you know, just stupid, simple difficulty. But it's a good way to go, okay, this is a fundamental, you know, this is what the 0-1 trap looks like. This is what a screen looks like. You know, this is what the draw looks like and where you should be running. This is actually how you should be running off tackle. You know, I know that I'm talking about a lot of stuff out of the backfield. Obviously, that's my interest because I'm a running back only in the press row CFM. But that's why I got into Ultimate Team. And then, of course, once I was there, I did exactly what EA Sports wants me to do, which is take pride in my team. And I bought some excuse me. I bought
what? Whoa. This is like breaking news going on right
now. You know, I bought some but what is it? Tickets, points, whatever the hell that's called. You know, to upgrade my team because I didn't want to be embarrassed when I played some guy online. And I also went into an auction house and might have bought, you know, the Redskins home and away uniforms because I wanted to nickname my team the Racist Fans and see what kind of reaction I could get out of people I played there. And then I
thought when you tweeted that picture, Owen, I thought that was a team that you had come up against.
No, that's all me. No, that's all me. That's all me. I'm trying to see, you know, because I like the idea. God, this is so awful. I like the idea that in somebody's play calling window where they're going through the strategy pick, it's like, you should call this defense because racist fans run halfback draw on first down, you know. So there's that. Yeah, and then I might have gone in and just like bought Ray Rice out of the auction house. Just to complete the troll, I have the most reprehensible team in Madden Ultimate Team, but it's, you know, it's I see why it's so compelling to a lot of people, and I see why if you like if I was to just sit down and power through the training camp challenges in a single day, that would, TJ, that'd be what? 3,200 points. Oh, excuse me, 32,000 points.
Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of players could you buy with that? It's like
one really good guy, three pretty good guys, or a whole bunch of. You can get pretty good guys for like 2,000 or 3,000 points.
Okay, it's a grind mode is what I sort of see it shaping up as, if, unless you're going to spend a little extra. And it's like you go into that, and it's like the PEDs in MLB The Show. You're just like, hey, what's $5, right? And then next thing you know, you spent $45.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but you know, I am committed to excellence with the racist fans organization in Madden Ultimate Team, and we will put a winner on the field. Wow. And make everyone proud to say they are fans of the racist fans.
How much merchandise you selling over there? Oh, that's not connected franchise. Never mind.
But no, I do enjoy Ultimate Team. I think I get the concept a little bit more now this year than I did in years past. I don't know if that's because they sort of cleaned up the menus, or you know, everything goes into the binder now, and so you sort of and you have the team styles, and I kind of dig that. But I don't understand. I think TJ, I'm interested in your opinion on this. I'm just like, just give me the best altogether lineup, because then after you buy enough players, you go back in and you realize my team is tooled up for, you know, like a completely different running style, and it does at least helpfully identify for you, you know, what bonus you would get if you switch styles. And you go, oh, okay, well maybe I need another coach. So then you go into the auction house, and instead of having, you know, that dip Mark Trestman as your coach, you know buy up Bruce Arians or somebody. You know, it's kind of insidious how it gets you to spend money, but once you're in, you're in. It's like The Godfather, I guess.
TJ, any comments on that before we move on to the golf club?
I'm just happy Owen's happy, happy enough.
I mean, Owen, you do have, it sounds like, a direct, you know, red phone connection to the Ultimate Team guru. So that's clearly got to be another reason that you're enjoying the game so much.
TJ was like, what is it? What's the feature that's going to come in with the PS4? It's like a screen share or controller share or something.
Yeah, they're going to have
SharePlay.
And TJ's like, I can't wait until SharePlay comes in, because then I can just take control of your team and just show you what to do. And it'll be so much easier than explaining it to you in an email. And I'm like, fine. You know, I'll hire
roster, go over my here. GM,
you know? Yeah.
It's pretty genius. I think it's going to be actually really helpful for this mode.
Yep. I love that. It's good. There's so much potential with that feature, actually.
Well, hey, I just want to take a second here and talk about FanDuel. The first week of the NFL season is in the books. How did your fantasy football team do? Did you win any cash? No? Well, don't make that mistake again. Sign up for FanDuel and win cash this weekend. Chris Prince from Detroit, he's an avid fantasy football player. He won over $656,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel.com. Join him and the hundreds of thousands of other users who have already won money. I gave it a shot last week, and well, let's just say I didn't do that well, but I had a fun time. I joined a particular tournament, which was a $30,000 NFL scramble. I finished with 110 points. The winner, who won $3,000, got 177 points. So I actually had a pretty good pick. I got Calvin Johnson, who got me 31.9 points. I had Vernon Davis, 18.4. Colin Kaepernick, 17.14. But I also made the unfortunate mistake of taking Lance Dunbar, Chicago Bears defense, Riley Cooper, and Eddie Lacy. They didn't help me out too much. What's cool about FanDuel is, you know, it's basically like some of these competitions. It's like a little salary cap, so you can't just take a whole bunch of studs. You got to be smart about what you do, and it's really cool. And I had fun, and like I said, I'm gonna be doing it again. So that's FanDuel. FanDuel.com is the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. The money's real. Entry fees start at just $1. There's no season-long commitment, no upfront fees. So if you're that guy who, like me, gets busy and travels across the country during the week and you forget, now there's all these Thursday games, you know, you're not going to be that guy screwing up your fantasy league. You can play each week or whenever you want. It's all up to you. You can set a new lineup each week, and you can win every week if you're good enough. I wasn't good enough last week, but I'm going to give it a go again this week. And FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this NFL season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use my code PRESS, that's P-R-E-S-S, and sign up now. And there's a new user special, so FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's up to $200 for free. It's the offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code PRESS, so don't forget to use the code PRESS, P-R-E-S-S. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Well, all right, let's move from the gridiron to the fairway. We have not spent much time discussing the golf club. It had the unfortunate timing of coming out right at the same time as Madden. I think a week before it on the Xbox One. I think day and date with Madden on the PlayStation 4. It's been on Steam for a while, early access. But, man, I got to tell you, I am wildly surprised by how much fun I have been having with the golf club. For those of you who do not know, the golf club is an independently produced golf game. There are no licensed golfers. There are no licensed courses. There's no like career mode where you build up attributes. There's not a whole lot of assists. It relies significantly on the social aspect of the game, where you'll be playing golf with your friends, either just live or in tournaments or tours that you can all set up, and it's very easy to set it up, and on user-created content. It's like no sports game I've ever played before, and I have been absolutely enthralled by it. From the beginning, I'm not saying it's the greatest game ever, but I really, really love it. It's got warts. It's got issues. It's clearly not a triple A game as far as its user interface or as far as the visuals and things like that. So I want to break it down a little bit left to right. But man, I really think the golf club is onto something. Sumit Sarkar, you've played quite a bit of the golf club. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on it based upon your experience.
Yeah, they're very much in line with yours, my thoughts. I spent some time with just playing, you know, rounds on the courses that HB Studios developed themselves. I haven't tried out any, you know, user-created courses, and I haven't tried creating courses myself. But certainly, you know, the first thing you notice upon booting it up and I think in playing is what you're saying about it not being a triple A product. It's, you know, it doesn't sort of have the polished sheen that something from EA or 2K would. It's very no frills is the word I would use to describe the experience. But you know, once you get beyond that, and once you actually get out onto the course, I mean, I think honestly the golf game plays is as good as anything that Tiger Woods had ever done. You know, I do find myself missing the putt preview, but that's because, you know, I relied on that as a crutch. But, aside from that, you know, I feel like, well, and also there was this weird stuttering issue on PS4, which, I think they said that they're working on a patch to fix that ASAP, or I'm not sure if that patch is already out, but, yeah, I mean, I really like the way that game plays. I really like, you know, to just, I mean, it's hard to really say much more than like, it plays like a good golf game. It plays like, you know, sort of what I was used to with Tiger Woods. You know, it doesn't have the, sort of accoutrement that you might be used to. If you are a fan of that particular series. But if you are missing virtual golf, and you're looking for something that's a simulation and not, you know, Power Star, you can't go wrong, I don't think, with spending $35 on a golf club.
You know, the thing that really surprised me about it, too, is because when I first heard about the golf club and heard how it was going to play, which is there's no real assist, there's no swing meter, you know, it really, you know, is in a way, obviously it's still a video game, in a way is very much just like you out there with a club and you got to figure it out how much to swing. You know the sort of distance your club will give you, you know, from if you hit it at 100%, you know how far the pin is or how far the, you know, where it is that you're aiming. But there's just so little to assist you other than that. I didn't think I would like that at all, but I actually think that is not only its appeal, but it's what keeps me coming back because I want to try to figure out how to get better. Owen Good, you are the official chief golf officer of the Press Row podcast. Very interested to hear your thoughts on this game.
I've played about 3 rounds with it, and I was one of those guys who got caught up with Madden, so I've not played it probably in a couple of weeks. But I played 3 rounds with it, and I disagree across the board. If you're playing virtual golf, you need visual information to tell you what you are doing with your club. If you're going to have any kind of a scientific experience, and that is, you know, okay, I did it this way, that didn't work, but I know what to do next time to make it work better. Putting in this game is just inscrutable to me. I can understand, you know, sort of when you draw your club back and you sort of understand, okay, well, maybe I need a half swing here because I know what my distance is with the 7-iron and I need to go, you know, half as long to get to the green or whatever. That's I understand that. Putting, it's a completely different story. I never ever understood what the range was nor the force with which I had to hit it. If I wanted to play golf with no visual information or tip-offs as to what I should be doing with the club, I would play real golf because then at least I would have sort of the tactile control of, okay, well, this is how hard I need to hit the ball to come close to this green. And I might even shoot a little bit better in real life than I would with this. I understand, you know, it's nice to have a true sim experience and not handhold people. And yes, Tiger Woods PGA Tour on lower difficulty settings can feel like you're sort of just, you know, calling in coordinates in an airstrike. And all you have to do is, you know, hit the button, you know, or hit the stick correctly. I play Tiger Woods PGA Tour on some very hard settings without a lot of visual feedback. I don't use a putt preview at all. I know how to read that green because I know what a square on that green equals in actual distance. I don't have any concept of that when I get on the green in the golf club. And it's just, it was so off-putting to me that I haven't gone back to it. I should, just to inform myself about the game. But, you know, you talk about if you're jonesing for golf, if you're missing golf and you want, you know, a sim experience, it's, you know, it's worth the $35. I would say you really have to be committed to learning something that isn't going to tell you how to play it.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say you have to be committed to learn because I have been reviewing NHL. Before that, I was reviewing Madden. I've been playing the golf club when possible. I've got another review coming up. I have been playing the golf club terribly, like literally terribly. In some of the tours in the tournaments we're doing, I'm shooting 11, 12, 13 shots over par, but I'm still enjoying it because I think that it's so refreshing to play a game that presents itself in such a clean way, right? And when I make a good shot in the golf club, I made a good shot because I read the shot properly and I executed the shot properly. And it's easy to do both of those things wrong. When I make a 10 to 12 foot putt in the golf club, I had to work for that 10 or 12 foot putt. I had to read the green properly. I had to hit the ball just properly, and I needed to get a little bit of luck. I have come so close so many times to putts, and I'm missing them. You know, it is really, I don't know what it is. Like most of the games like this, I get frustrated. Like if I talk about a completely different kind of game, like Shovel Knight, like I've played Shovel Knight and I've gotten to a point of Shovel Knight where I can't go any farther. It's too difficult for me. It is demanding too much. But with a golf club, I can shoot 11 or 12 over and I'm okay. I'm ready to go play another round. It's strange. It's weird. I don't get it. But for whatever reason, this game is speaking to me. TJ Lyman, you're playing the golf club. Give me your thoughts on it, because you and I have hit the virtual links together quite a few times.
I'm liking it, but I echo Owen. I have the same issues with – you're just not getting enough feedback on stuff like in your putting and in your short game where you're just kind of guessing how hard you're supposed to swing for most stuff. And sometimes the targeting thing gets messed up, or it's like behind a rock, or it's a mile away from the green, and you're just not – do I do like half swing? And then you fly it over the green anyway. But I like everything up to the short game, like the tee off and all that stuff. That all feels fine. My bigger problems have been just with on PS4, the game consistently letting me play through a whole round without either crashing or going back to the dashboard or – cross media bar, whatever it is. I think we were playing one night where I started up a tournament and it was pretty awesome, and I was going through like 4 or 5 holes and I saw you pop up in my little leaderboard and said you're playing live and I'm playing against these ghosts. Yeah. And then I get to like the 5th or 6th hole and it's like, yeah, the game doesn't work anymore, so do you want to come back? I was like, I'm gonna go play a mutt solo and not come back to this right now. But There's a good basis. They just need to keep going.
So, yeah, another thing we haven't talked very much about, but is the integration of friends. And I've got probably 10 to 15 people on my friends list that are playing this game regularly. And just being able to jump into a round and start playing, and all of a sudden they're all playing with me and we're playing together, is spectacular. Brian Weed, what are your thoughts on the golf club? Again, I know you've been playing it a little bit. Give me your take.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would classify this as a really good game. It's pretty plain and basic, but it's also a very serene experience. That's the word I keep coming back to. And for some reason, I just want to hop on and play around here and there, and it pulls me back. And I'm not sure I can really put a finger on exactly why that is, because there are so many maddening things that happen, whether that be putting, and I miss so many putts just barely.
Oh yeah, me too, constantly. And pars turn into bogeys, and bogeys turn into double bogeys. Kills me.
And then as talked about before, you know, if you try to hit a certain percent of power on your swing with the controller stick, maybe this is different. We talked about it a little bit on our last hangout. Maybe it's different on PC. Maybe you have that kind of accuracy. But at least on the PS4, I sure don't. You'll find yourself in between, and there's really no good choice. You're going to go long or you're going to end up short. And you can't get the percent you want. You can't get that. You know, okay, I'm going to try to swing 80% here. It's never going to happen. You're going to end up like 60 or 100. So that's a big issue. But then if you play well for a stretch of holes, you feel really good about it too. I mean, mm-hmm. We were doing one of our tours, and I was doing horribly. I was like plus 8 after 9, but then the back 9 I went minus 1. And so I felt really good about that. But still, yeah, it is a $35 game, and it's hard to say definitively if it offers enough value. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of content unless you're playing the tours and tournaments with your friends, because really all you can do is one-off rounds, try different courses and stuff. People are so conditioned to the $15 or $20 digital downloads. I think this became a really tough sell, and I understand why people maybe have hesitated to buy it. And even for someone like us, Rich, that we kind of like the game, it's a hard one to recommend, because it really is. You have the opinions like Owen, who's a very hardcore golf guy, and this game really was built to appeal to the Owens of the world, I think, more so than the arcade or the more casual type of golf players. So when it doesn't resonate with the types like Owen, I think they maybe missed the mark in some form or fashion.
Chris Sanner, you have also been playing quite a bit of the golf club. I'm interested in your thoughts as well as those of the Operation Sports community, because this comes out of, you know, completely wrong sport analogy here, but this game comes out of left field and is not an experience that really any of us have had in a long time, certainly not on console.
Yeah, I feel like, as I said earlier, this is one of those rare sports games where you really do feel at fault if you screw up a round. Like mentally, if you're not all there, you are going to miss putts, you're going to miss, you know, iron shots, you're going to miss approaches, you're going to screw up drives. I mean, any number of things could go wrong on any round. So in that regard, I really do like this game. I dig it in that fact. There are some things, as the guys mentioned before, about a lack of feedback, that sort of thing. But I've found the more rounds I get in, the more you just kind of start feeling some of those things, such as putting. You kind of get a good feel for, well, this is how far you need to go back to, you know, sink a 30-foot putt, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's a weird thing because I feel like sports games, even video games to a certain extent, have kind of lost that you have to really play it for a while to master it. You know, a lot of them, they really bring you in and they say, well, they hold your hand and they say, here's how you do it. They're just easy. I mean, even Tiger Woods to a certain extent is easy to up to that point. You can gradually you turn off things on Tiger Woods, you make it harder. But golf club, it just kind of puts you in. It says, good luck, sport. And you shoot your first few rounds at plus 20, plus 30. And you're wondering, am I ever going to be good? And then you have a week. I mean, literally, I had a week where I was shooting. I could not miss. I literally played 20 rounds where I was below par. Almost every round. And these were hard courses, easy courses. I have no idea what was going on. I was channeling Tiger Woods circa 2002. And I was just doing, I was hitting putts. I was making chips, shots. I mean, it was on. And now I'm back to this weird spot where I cannot hit sand if I fell off a camel. Like, I cannot make a putt to save my life. And it's a mental thing. I mean, it's in that sense, it's really awesome. And I've also delved into the course creator a little bit. And I will say that it's really fun to make a course and then see a bunch of people play it and give it high marks and people tweet you about it. You know, that 16th hole really does get me every time. And, you know, you designed it to do that. So in that sense, it's a very addictive kind of experience. And if they can tune up some of these gameplay elements and even, you know, I really don't think this game is a game that you want to, people have talked about giving it attributes, you know, any number of things improve the experience. I think it would ruin the golf club experience. I think the experience they have created is actually, you know, everybody's the same attributes and you are playing on the same field. That is such a new but fresh idea in sports gaming. And it's not really new. I mean, it's just a take we haven't seen in a long time. And I really like that because I know if someone shoots a -4, they did it playing the same attributes, the same ability. I mean, you know they're better than you right now.
Yes.
And I mean, they're not playing as the Patriots and you're the Raiders. I mean, you know that they are better than you. And I like that. That is such a unique approach to this. So they've got a foundation. If they can just keep building on it, this game, this is the type of thing that can really do something. I'm digging it. I mean, I really am. So I just hope that they don't take away what makes this game so unique in trying to appease so many people.
I could not agree more, and I hate those people that shoot those -4s because I'm like dying to get like +8. Like when I get +8 on a court that's ranked its hardest, that is a major victory. Like the last tour that we set up, I set it up so that it goes hardest, easiest on four courses. And by the way, there are a lot of absolutely beautiful courses. I don't necessarily mean beautiful graphically, although when you're playing a course with giant mountains in the background, it looks awesome. But just some really incredibly well thought out holes and challenges and interesting ways to approach it. There's so much good content.
Yeah, let me correct myself. I did say -4 earlier. I meant -4. I am literally like my brain is not working. I am sorry. Owen has not spoken. I think Owen has like fell out of his chair and died.
I gotta say, guys, I don't know. I want to be really serious about this. I don't play sports video games in order to approximate my real world performance on a TV screen. If I wanted to do that, I would go out and play golf in real life. I play these games in order to inhabit the the persona of someone who is at the top of his game and performs much better or beyond what I can do in real life. I don't play Madden because, you know, I'm going to go down to the high school field, you know, that's near where I live and get, you know, trucked by a bunch of 18-year-olds and knock flat on my ass and be out after two plays. And I don't play video game golf to go out there and shoot a 12 over because that's what I would do in real life. And I understand that there's sort of a fulfillment that comes from, you know, taking on a challenge and really, really thinking hard about things and trying to read the green. But it is absolutely a completely different experience when you're looking at a two-dimensional surface such as your television screen as opposed to actually being out there on a green and, you know, looking at the roll of the green and how it curves. And, okay, I know I need to hit it this hard to overcome the resistance, and maybe the surface is this wet. I mean, it just, you guys are masochists in my view. And again, I think this betrays the fundamental proposition of sports video gaming, which is you come to it and you play beyond what you would play in real life, because these sports are out there in real life. I can go and play rec league soccer tomorrow. I can go play rec league basketball tomorrow, and I will be bad at it, and I will be winded after 3 minutes at it. And that's not what I want when I sit down to play FIFA or NBA 2K. And I can go to Cedarbrook Country Club tomorrow and I can shoot 106 out there on that course. And that's not what I want when I sit down to play a video game.
And there's different people want different things out of different video games. I completely understand where you're coming from. I think the thing that when it clicked for me, it clicked early, but because when I'm playing golf and I'm playing it with two or three of my other friends and we're all playing at the same time and we're all getting fours and fives and sixes, and like at the end, like there's two or three shots separating us, it's very different than if you're just out there on your own on the course and you play 18 holes. So like when I finished like the second or third round that I ever played, and I finished 7 over and my buddy finished 6 over and two of my other buddies finished 8 over. It didn't matter that we were 7 or 8 over. It was chasing each other and seeing who was a shot ahead, who was a shot behind. For those 18 holes was a spectacular experience. And when I did get that birdie on 16 that put me in second place instead of in third place, I felt as much of a video game sense of accomplishment as I do when I call a hot route to a slot receiver when in the game that Brian and I played the other night, he had his safety coming in for a blitz and I hit it for a 50-yard gain. Like, to me, it's the same thing because I'm in a competition playing with my friends. It's not about trying to shoot 7 under par because I'm the virtual Tiger Woods. It's being in a competition with my friends.
You know, it gets back to what I said originally, which is I play these games to have some kind of experience that is greater than what I can approximate in real life. I can go out to any golf course and duff around with my friends and we're all bad, but we're all within two or three shots of one another. And it's competitive at the end. And if somebody gets a birdie, yes, that's a high five yourself moment. I don't see why the golf club deserves some sort of extra credit because it makes you work really hard, you know, to play something that you've never played before, at least in the physical controls that you're implementing, you know, to get the same experience that you can out in real life. I mean, I know that this is sort of I wouldn't necessarily call it a cult hit. I have an affinity for a game called Sniper Elite that a lot of people look at and go, well, why the hell would I want to play that? But it does appeal to me. And so it's, you know, there's no disputing about tastes, but I do think that the golf club has done a really good job of limiting its appeal to all but like those who are really committed to play golf virtually or those who really want like a very difficult challenge. This is not an accessible game and it's spread. It will have a very limited spread. You know, you'll see it in whatever the sales are on this or the uptake is. I know it's got a lot of user created content and that's fantastic. But, you know, this is the niche of the niche for sports video gaming, in my view. There is no broad appeal to it.
Sumit, I want to go back to you and just get some more of your thoughts about your experience playing the golf club.
Yeah, I should specify, you know, certainly I was maybe effusive in my praise for the golf club. You know, I haven't played a ton of it. I played a few rounds. I did try out the online as well. That was pretty cool, the way it sort of seamlessly can just bring in, like, I guess matchmaking or whatever, just brings in a sort of random people. And I was like, I think I sort of did it without realizing it. Like, I loaded up and there were, you know, three other ball trails on the same course as me. But yeah, I think the no frills nature becomes a problem with specifically what Owen was saying, the interface. So, you know, there's not really a tutorial in the game. So it doesn't do a good job of explaining, you know, what's what. You know, if you're trying to, I mean, certainly doing something like draw or fade is easy enough to figure out. But if you're going to do the more advanced stuff, you know, the like adding loft to a shot, or, you know, trying to, you know, like dig yourself out of a deep bunker or the rough or something like that, I think that's something that I sort of had to learn in a trial and error kind of way, just by sort of doing, and then, oh, well, I guess that's not going to work. I'll try it this way instead. So that was sort of the issue, and it's the same issue I have with the putt. I think I would say I'm in agreement with TJ on the sort of the short game in general, because it is really hard, it seems, to get the right percentage, the right power behind a shot, you know, with an iron on the approach, but also the putting. So when I was saying, you know, I have difficulty because of the putt preview, like, that's not the main reason. I think it just doesn't do a really good job of telling you, and, you know, maybe this was intentional in their design, but, you know, with Tiger Woods, when you're putting, there's that like bar on the left side of the screen, and there is a like horizontal tick on that bar that shows you, okay, hey, you are this far from the hole, so you need to aim to hit this much power. There's no such indicator of that, so really you're just, all you have is like, oh, this putter can go up to 144 feet or something like that, and I'm 32 feet away, so I guess I'll try to swing, I don't know, whatever the math is there, percent. It is really hard, I think, to judge the power on something like a putt. So that's where I think some of the issues start to come in terms of, you know, the no frill stuff. It's not just like the appearance of the menus. It does actually sometimes have a negative effect on, you know, the play experience.
Well, talking about niche. There is a niche called the NHL, and NHL 15 launched this week. And for the first time that I can really ever remember, the overall reception from critics, the Metacritic score itself, and really just from many in the community, the overall feeling has been down. There's a lot of things to talk about here. I did a review for Games Radar. Smits Arkar is working on a review for Polygon. Chris Sanner has obviously been spending a lot of time talking to folks in Operation Sport. So let's talk about NHL 15. Smits Arkar, as I mentioned, you are doing the review for Polygon. So give us your initial impressions and where you are with NHL 15 on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One right now.
Well, I'm conflicted, and the reason for that is that the game I feel is a lot of fun to play. I think on the ice, it's not flawless, but it's really good. You know, the physics for the collisions is really good, and the puck physics, there's some wonkiness there, but I think overall it's pretty good. I've seen some pretty good goals scored. And I also really, really like the presentation stuff. Obviously, that was an area that they sorely needed an overhaul. And while there are some issues with the Doc Emmerich and Eddie Olchek commentary in terms of stitching lines together, and there are also some sort of weird silences where you know they sort of don't talk for you know a few seconds. I think overall that's a step in the right direction, and the NBC Sports visual stuff is really good. But yeah, I don't play those kinds of games, and I don't think anybody who's listening to this podcast plays those kinds of games for one-off games against the CPU or, you know, modes that aren't going to keep them engrossed for dozens of hours. I mean, you know, what I've said many times in the show is, like, after I finish reviewing those games, like, all I do is be a pro. And while be a pro is there, one of the few things that made the cut this year from what was there from the feature set in NHL 14, it's just really stripped down experience. It's much more bare bones compared to what we're used to. And that's to say nothing of the modes that are missing entirely, which, you know, we've talked about on a previous episode. And that's what's really disappointing. You know, like, even the stuff that is there makes the game feel incomplete because it is so neutered almost, you know. Like, what is the point of playing Be a Pro if you're not getting coach feedback during the game?
The point is to sit there and watch from a very poor vantage point the rest of the game being played and not being able to fast forward it, clearly.
Right. That's another thing. You know, like, just really basic features that aren't there, really basic elements of the presentation experience even. Like, there aren't the three stars awarded at the end of the game. The thing is that for the people who are listening to this and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't give a crap. I don't ever jump in to be a GM or be a pro. Those things are too complicated. I just want to play some hockey with my friends. Well, guess what? You can't play with friends. You can play with a friend because they don't have online team play right now. They're patching it in later, they say. And so I can't recommend this game for $60 at this point, and maybe not even after they're done with their patch schedule, because there's so much stuff missing. Even for people who don't care about those modes, if they just want to play quick pickup games, that's not worth $60, if you ask me. And it's also a shame if you look at people who have the last generation consoles, because maybe they're thinking, oh, screw it, I'll just get the game there because at least it has all the modes, you know, including GM Connected and EA Sports Hockey League and all the other stuff. Aside from the new commentary, like, it's pretty much a roster update. Like, I was watching someone did a YouTube walkthrough of what's there, and like the menus look the same except it has Patrice Bergeron and the NHL 15 logo. And, you know, it, like I said, it does have the new Doc and Eddie commentary, but apparently even that's scaled back. It doesn't have them doing the pregame introductions on video, from what I've heard. I don't have a copy of the last gen version myself. So, you know, even there, I wouldn't advise spending $60 if you bought NHL 14. So it's really sad all around, because this is a franchise that has had an incredible pedigree for such a long time, you know, really the entire run of the last console generation. I think the last NHL game that wasn't like really well received was maybe NHL 07. And NHL 09 was really the one that kicked off the high point. And that's where they introduced EA Sports Hockey League. So I've loved this series for a long time, and it's really disappointing to see that this is their first foot forward on the new generation consoles. It doesn't bode well for the future.
All right. So I'm not going to rehash my review for Games Radar. It's out there, gamesradar.com. Go check it out, NHL 15 review. So what I am going to, try to take a slightly different approach at this. Just let's look at what happened. we all know that NHL, of all the big EA Sports games, sells the least. You know, the NHL is of in itself, you know, the smallest of the big four. Now, it's obviously got a large, passionate group of fans. It's doing better now than it's ever done. But, I mean, it's no NFL. It's no NBA. It's not even Major League Baseball. And, you know, let's face it, FIFA and international soccer is much more important. So, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort to bring a previous generation game up to the standards of the next generation, right? I mean, to do what they did, to create the new arenas, to create the new players, to create the new ice surfaces, to add the collision physics, all the stuff that they said that they did, and I don't mean that in a cynical way, they did do it, takes a lot of time and effort. Frankly, I think the people at the top of EA who make the resource allocations are like, look, here's the number of people and here's the schedule, and the date of September 9th ain't going anywhere. That's the game, the day the game is releasing. And I think it probably became pretty obvious to the development team, like, hey, we can't make this thing the way that we used to make this thing because it takes so much more time and effort to bring this up. And from a consumer standpoint, I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying you should go take your $60 out there and buy it. But what I am saying is that it feels like to me that the people responsible for actually writing the code and making this game got put into a very difficult position. And I think that there were a series of mistakes made. And I'm actually going to be interviewing Sean Ramjag Singh, you know, the producer of the game, who's been on the show several times. I'm going to interview him, and it's going to be on the show next week. But I think that there were a series of mistakes. And I even put that word mistakes in air quotes, right? Because they might be mistakes to me, a consumer, if I spend $60 on the game. But we don't know what the, you know, is it a mistake from a business standpoint? But, I mean, clearly it feels to me like there were not enough resources to put a game together that NHL 15 needed, right? I mean, FIFA 14, Madden 25, when they launched on the next-gen consoles, were basically feature-for-feature complete with the previous ones. So the precedent was set. But it feels to me like the precedent was also set that the amount of resources that you would need to bring NHL 15 forward feature-for-feature were not there. I don't think that Sean Ramjag Singh or the people making the game said, we're going to create a shell of a game. I think it probably became pretty apparent to them that, wow, there's a whole lot more that it takes and they have resources to do it. And then the next mistakes that I think got made was the fact that there was no information that came out about it. Now, I don't know if they waited until the very end. And when I say the very end, I mean like literally once the game was available to EA Access. I don't know if they waited until the very end to say what was and was not in the game to hide it and whose decision that was, or perhaps they were hoping to get more into it because they've announced that they are going to be adding modes into it after release. There's so much going on here. But at the end of the day, if you were to buy NHL 15 right now on the next generation consoles, you need to go into it with your eyes wide open. There's a very good game of hockey that's played on the ice, but there's very little to anything that surrounds it. Owen Good, you wrote a piece last week on NHL. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it.
You talk about a development team that doesn't get the time or the resources it needs to put out a game with full feature parity. And I think the elephant in the room here is a rumor that's been going around that developers on the NHL team up in EA Canada were peeled off to work on EA Sports UFC and get that out the door. And, you know, that is, as long as that is out there, that is going to be, you know, what people blame for this stripped down, highly condensed version of NHL 15, which has a very good core game of hockey for as much as I've played it and as uninformed as my, you know, reaction is to it. It is a fun game, you know, right there on the ice. But everything that made this game so deep and so enjoyable, and as I said in the column that I wrote, you know, touting 26 Sports Game of the Year awards on its cover, it ain't here because, you know, for whatever reasons, either the code base, you know, bringing that stuff up from Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. You know, it required too much time and too many people, and they didn't have enough of either. Or they did have enough time and people if they hadn't had to take this side route, this side job that has been rumored, you know, with UFC. I'm not sure what it is. All we know is it ain't there. And when I see that features, you know, such as, correct me if I'm wrong, EASHL, that's in the 360 and PS3 version, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Online yep. team play, that's in the in that version.
Yep.
GM Be a Legend, Connected as well, I think.
GM Connected, Be a Legend.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny that that version gets tarred as, oh, this is just a roster update. When actually it's like, you know, that's the better game because, you know, I would look on this as like, okay, well, NHL 14 was a fully featured game and maybe it didn't do everything that people wanted it to do last year, but it was still a damn good game and it had all, you know, numerous modes of play. And so your options are NHL 15 on the new generation, which, I mean, you know, this just looks like NCAA football and NCAA football 06. Do you guys remember that? You had no campus legend. You couldn't create a team. There's no Division I AA teams, which have never come back since. Just on and on and on, all the features that people expected and loved from the old console generation weren't present in, you know, the new one. And, you know, I had a friend who took his Xbox 360 back because he couldn't play, you know, the big man on campus mode, whatever it was called then. It's had numerous names in NCAA football. And as I said, I thought this was the one thing that you couldn't do. You couldn't come out there and go, here is stunning, realistic, real to life physics and gameplay. And you know, never more realistic. And it's beautiful and photorealistic. And then not give it all of the context and all of the supporting modes around it that made that worth playing. You can't just put a new coat of polish on the engine and make everything look pretty and then go, well, there you go, that's it. I do agree that NHL probably has the smallest budget of the team sports that EA Sports builds. Canadian fans are really getting underserved by American priorities. This is their Madden, and they're getting crap, you know, because of how Electronic Arts parcels out its development budget. It's a shame. I mean, to see NHL, which has been a quality series longer than FIFA, okay, and is something that goes back 20 years in terms of people who love it, and is in hockey, ice hockey is the sport most appealing to video games of any real world team sport. To see that thing take a Metacritic 60 is just a shame. We've lost one of the four good games every year. You know, we always go, it's FIFA, it's MLB The Show, it's NBA 2K, and then it's NHL, and NHL is gone from that. And next year, the narrative is going to be, well, they took out all of these features, and now they've sold them back in, and now you get to buy what should have been in last year's edition. It's just a mess.
You know, it's no fun to write a review that goes to Metacritic that contributes to it that is bad. I don't like that. I don't want to be that guy. In fact, I used to poke fun at Mike Cusick, and even just last, you know, the last full episode, I poked fun at Kat Bailey for her six for Madden. But, you know, it's really strange to play NHL 15 because, as you said, Cement, there's not a whole lot, even what is there, there's not a whole lot to it. It's bizarre. Chris Shanner, I'm really interested to hear what people are saying on Operation Sports. You know, what's your take on it, and what are the NHL fans on OS saying about NHL 15 now that it's out there and the ones that want to have their hands on it?
Rich, if you can do me a favor and in this segment insert like a bunch of people yelling and like general panic in the streets, you know, things crashing, blowing up, etc. That would be a good background for my report coming up here.
Well, if you want to, Chris, I can just throw a whole bunch of bleeps on what you're saying, even though you're not cursing. I'll just put that on there just to give it that impression.
I mean, it would work either way, because this OSers are, to put it mildly, the riot in the street has not been greater than what it is right now with NHL. Like longtime NHL fans, it's been, you know, building through the last month or so. And it's just been one thing after another. People, I mean, we posted a post, what was it, like right the day of the EA Access when it was released. And it we had a couple of guys go through the game and just basically find everything missing in the next gen version, just because we had a feeling, and I had a feeling in the interview that there were more things missing than we were even led on to believe. And sure enough, I mean, just the list was just, you know, two or three times longer than you would have expected. And it was just the replies in that thread will forever be etched in my memory as a moment where OS really did jump the shark. It was quite the interesting experience. There are people finding enjoyment on the ice, but I mean, you know how OS is. When you have when you're missing the draft and be a GM, well, that's basically like killing the mode for a lot of people. The thing that seems to maybe work halfway is Ultimate Team. As Owen said, I mean, I can corroborate what he said by saying that I've heard the exact same thing about UFC and NHL from a variety of people. I mean, this just seems like the entire thing has been mismanaged and bungled. And it's a shame, because there is no doubt. I mean, Rich, you talked to Rammer. You talked to every one of us have talked to guys on the NHL team. These are great guys, passionate about their sport, passionate about their product. And to basically be hung out to dry like they have been is just an absolute shame, because this is a game that is that has been one of our stalwarts. I mean, I know for sure it has been in the running for game of the year just about every year at OS when we, you know, discuss this thing, even though that list dwindles every year because we tend to lose games. But I just hope that next year EA doesn't throw in the towel. They give this game the resources it deserves and it is able to shine, because this year is what this year equates to. There is no amount of patching and adding in features that's going to make this any better. It's a lost year for the franchise. And I mean, no one's excited. No one's happy about it, even though the game on the ice and the presentation, et cetera, does give you hope for the future if they can add in everything around it. But this year is just a lost year for this franchise.
There's even just like on what you're saying, Chris, like there are things like that. One of the few things that you can do and be a GM is scout. But because the draft is CPU controlled, you're scouting, like you don't even ultimately get to make the choice on who you want to draft based upon your scouting. So even what is there, and Smith said this earlier, even what is there doesn't even feel fully vetted, fully thought out. So I find it almost kind of a depressing experience in ways, but it's very much an eyes wide open. Like I've seen a lot of comments where people have said, hey, I don't play online. I don't play EASHL. I don't play with my friends. I just want to win the Stanley Cup as my favorite team offline. If that's what you want to do, right, and you just want to play the games, play through a season and go for the playoffs and win the cup, and that's worth $60 to you, you're probably going to be just fine with NHL 15. The problem is that people like me and Cat Bailey and Sumit Sarkar and you know, many of us who have played NHL for years have gotten used to a certain type of set of experiences that are just not there. With me, it's the online leagues. I've had a blast. TJ, you and I have been in online leagues for years in NHL. We were absolutely looking forward to this year, and that's not there. So that's really kind of the crime with NHL is, to me, it's just so many of the ways that we're used to playing it that just it was taken for granted that they were going to be there are not there. TJ, you are going to experiment with NHL 15, or is there any chance that, well, let me rephrase this. TJ, is there any chance that you are going to dive into NHL 15?
I'm going to say no, unless I can find it super duper cheap, like 15, 20 bucks at some point. But right now, nothing that I wanted to play was in there. I really wanted to play a GM Connected with you guys, and that was what I was super excited for. And then I was like, well, I'm going to get it. I'm going to play GM Connected. What's everybody else want to play? And everybody said, let's play ESHL. I was like, awesome. We're going to have a sweet team. We got a bunch of people that are going to do it. And then they come out and they break all the hearts. But Rich, let me tell you what you guys are all missing. I don't know if you guys remember how much we've complained about these menus being god-awful and taking forever to load. They fixed that. From everything I can see, the menu system is nice and smooth because there's only like two or three options there.
But you know what, TJ? The menus, and I'm not even joking, Submit can back me up, the menus are even sluggish.
What?
The menus are sluggish, and even sending an invitation to somebody online sometimes it just flat out doesn't work. Cat Bailey and I probably spent more time trying to send each other invitations than we were playing the game. So even that part is not implemented well. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, I'm just going to speak with my wallet and not pick this up.
Brian Weedy, any chance you go out and get NHL 15?
No. I mean, I had it on EA Access and I didn't play it. There's no motivation to play it because there's no lasting appeal to it. And, it's scary, as we were talking about Metacritic and stuff. And this could be the game, because you don't generally, if you lose people who buy the game every year, those are your core consumers. If you lose those people, they might realize they don't actually need the game every year. They might not come back, even if you add those things in next year. So I think if we see in 6 months some kind of open letter, which NBA Live does plenty of that, an open letter for NHL that talks about why, how they screwed up NHL 15, I don't think that's going to convince people. I think they did a lot of damage to their brand right now, and you see it in social media, and you see it. I wasn't sure we'd see it in reviews because luckily the message on that really spread. A lot of times the more mainstream reviewers don't even notice. They might not even know what GM Connected is, because chances are they didn't put time into it last year. So it's good that message got across and they're getting hit, but like the user reviews on Amazon and Metacritic are one to one and a half stars to, and like under a three on Metacritic. So when this happens, when you motivate people to go out and spread a message not to buy the game, those people might have turned on you for good. So I think it's a scary thing for this franchise, which I looked back on my predictions earlier this year, and I said, what games have the most potential to be the best ones this year? And my two were UFC and NHL, because they were being built for these new consoles solely, and now they ended up being the most disappointing games. So it's interesting to see how that's developed, and it's going to be fascinating to see if people will buy back into this series after this year.
So Submit, does the fact that the team, the NHL team, has committed to adding certain things into the game, such as online team play, not EASHL, but online team play, adding in three stars, adding in a playoff mode where you can just jump in and get right to the playoffs, does the fact that they've already committed to doing more to support this game help at all? Help a lot, help a little bit? What does that mean to you as just a fan of the series? Not even as a critic, not as someone who is writing about games, but just as somebody who wants to enjoy NHL. What does that mean to you?
Well, I suppose it's something of a mitigating factor in the face of all this disappointment at the feature set that they're shipping with. It's always encouraging to see that any studio that's pledging post-launch support. I think that the Madden teams have been really good about that, doing their server-side updates, that's all well and good, and then at the same time, though, they came out and said it after the 4 days, I think, after the game was released on EA Access. They said the day before the game was released publicly at retail. But I think that blog post went up like Sunday night or Monday, that was explaining their roadmap for adding features back in. But my worry now, what is exactly what Brian was saying about you know, them doing permanent damage. And I think it's not just to, you know, the brand, to sort of the pedigree of the franchise, but you look at what a roadmap like that requires in terms of development resources to, you know, for a team that may already have been constrained in that respect, may have been limited. You know, they're going to spend the next couple of months putting the main features back into the game, features big and small. You know, that potentially puts them behind the eight ball for developing NHL 16, right? And, you know, presumably the stuff they don't patch in because it's too difficult to do or requires too much in the way of resources, you know, hopefully they'll bring some of that back in next year's game, but accepting GM Connected because, you know, they said it's their least played mode and, you know, really intimated that it's not worth it for them to invest the resources to that are required to, that would be required to bring it back on the new consoles. But, you know, the upshot is they're, you know, spending time on the patching in features takes away from, you know, their pre-production cycle for NHL 16. So, you know, I worry that if patching these features in, spending time on that, you know, takes away from the pre-production cycle for NHL 16. And then if you think, well, hey, hopefully they'll bring back the major features that they left out this year. Well, then what are they going to develop that's new for next year? All of a sudden, this turns NHL 16 potentially, if you want to look at it in the, you know, sort of worst case scenario, into a catch-up year for the franchise where they sort of get back to where they were on the PS3 and 360 with NHL 14. And then it's like, well, then they get hit again with reviews for next year because it's like, well, hey, they didn't really deliver anything new. And again, this is, again, sky is falling, worst case scenario kind of thing. And I'm not saying we should assume that, but it's a definite possibility, especially with what we're seeing right now. And so that's sort of my greater worry for the overall future of the franchise.
We all want more sports games. We want competition. We want all the games to be great. I believe Chris Shanner, you even tweeted that today, right? I mean, everybody who loves these games, we want more of them and we want them all to be great. We do not like not liking these games. And for a franchise as vaunted and as respected as NHL 15, this one hurts. It hurts me as just a fan who loves the NHL series, who loves playing in online leagues. It hurts me as a critic because I don't like to give a rating that low. You know, and it just hurts as the guy who runs a Press Row podcast because it's not fun talking to Sean Ramjack Singh about, you know, a difficult game. Like we, so, you know, none of this is a whole lot of fun, but it's the world that we live in. All right, folks. Well, I just want to thank you all again. This was the 100th episode of the Press Row podcast. I could not be more proud and I could not be more thankful for the awesome people who participate on this show and who make it happen. Thank you, everyone. And of course, the number one reason that we have had 100 episodes is because of you, the listeners. So thank you very much. Continue to listen. Give us feedback. Go rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to us. Click on that button to play the show. Every single one of these counts. It helps us out a lot. Thank you, everybody. So on behalf of Brian Weedy from Pasta Padre, Chris Shanner from Operation Sports, Owen Good from Polygon, Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, TJ Lauerman for That Sports Gamer, I am Rich Grisham. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Hey, everybody. Before we go, real quick, I just wanted to make sure I mention that if you are playing Madden Ultimate Team for the first time, go check out the Madden Ultimate Team tips on Games Radar that TJ Lauerman and I put together. And if you have any Madden Ultimate Team specific questions, send them right to TJ over Twitter at ThatSportsGamer. He loves getting involved in this stuff. He's a maniac, and he will definitely help you out. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Medai at Pasta Padre. Polygon Submits Our Car at Submits Our Car. That Sports Gamer's TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamer's Cat Bailey at The Underscore Catbot. Operation Sports Chris Sanner at Chris SNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve Underscore OS. And of course, me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks. And we'll see you again next time.